We said, amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, good morning. Blessings to you all, and peace be multiplied, peace in the highest. And on behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, I'd like to welcome you here to Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, on this Sunday morning. And those joining online, welcome as well. And if we have any visitors, we give you a special welcome. We're blessed that you're with us and pray that you'll be blessed by the love that you will receive here at Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, as well as be full of the Spirit via the Word of God. I want to remind everyone about our next prayer meeting that will be held on the 9th of January here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. And if you are able to attend, I would encourage you to please come. We truly need to pray together as often as we can. And even if you're not able, please make sure that you are praying. Please pray for everything. I can't overemphasize how much we need to pray. So I encourage you to do so. I thank those who have been praying for the various missions that we've had going on and the ones that we continue to have going on. Thankful that the team from, Nepal. Yeah, that's it. It's about to say Maui. I was like, wait a minute, I'm getting everything mixed up. Nepal returned, but pray for them. Some of them came back and got sick. And so pray for their full recovery, as well as continue to pray for our beloved pastor and his wife, Kelly, battling cancer. As you know, we need to pray, and then pray some more. And I don't want to forget about us in the sanctuaries. Pray for one another and check on one another. Please do that. We cannot afford to be so reclusive. It is nonsense in the day and age that we are living in. I also ask that you would pray for the families of Jason and Teresa Cachuela. I can't say anything more than that. Especially the children. On Sundays, we have two services. This is the second service. And for our second service this morning, I would invite you to join me in the book of Romans in chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 17, and I would ask all who are able to stand to do so for the reading of the scriptures this morning, followed by a word of prayer. Again, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The word of God reads, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Why don't we pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the teaching this morning? Loving Heavenly Father, first, We want to thank you. Thank you for giving us your eternal word. Thank you for giving us the opportunity of the gift of eternal life. I pray that you would be lifted up by this message that you have for us, your people, and that we would hear it and respond to it, to the greatest love of all. So, Lord, please go before us in the strength and power of your might, and may your will be done with us, your people. We love you and indeed praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. Please be seated and thank you. Our second service teaching this morning is titled, Jesus, the Eternal Gift. And since this is the season for gift giving, it would only seem appropriate to take advantage of such a time and attempt to deliver such a message. There is no doubt that the greatest gift offered to man within the whole of creation is the free gift of eternal life. The Bible says that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it's the word given that should never be understated nor overlooked. A son is given. And not only was he given, but he would give all. That's what we need to remember. He would come into this world, the world that he created. He would enter into time with man, spotless and sinless, born of the Holy Spirit, and ultimately offer himself up by taking on the sins of the entire world, just so that all who would believe in him and accept this free gift would have eternal life. I don't know about you, but I really wished that this time of year, that many of us refer to as Christmas time, was really all about Jesus. Are you feeling me? I mean, the gifts that we exchanged with one another, that's cool and all. I get it. That's fine. But during this season, have we ever shared this eternal gift with others? I mean, I know for me, a lot of time and resources go into buying this thing and that thing, going to this person's house or that person's house, eating and drinking, right? And then thinking about January, how broke I'm gonna be when I try to pay all this stuff back. Looking at the credit card bills going, oh Lord, what did I do? But how much time and resources do I actually spend on spreading Jesus, the eternal gift? And this eternal gift leads to eternal life. And what I want us also to recognize is that eternal life is not some new concept or something weird to even think about. And we see this in the scriptures and we talk about it often. Worth bringing up again, captured here in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 11. The word of God reads, he, speaking of God, has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. No one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end, but we can all receive the eternal gift from Jesus and rest assured on that finished work on the cross. This is what we're offered. And although the world may say outwardly and dismiss the Bible regarding everlasting life, inwardly, mankind as a whole desires to live forever. Oh, yes, they do. They do. Think about it in history. Go all the way back. The various potions they would try to come up with to extend their lives. Some dying immediately. Think about it. They would try to cheat death. Since the beginning. What about the story of Juan Ponce de Leon? Remember him? In search of the fountain of youth? So they say. I can tell you, he never found it. And we can see this very pronounced in the arts, right? Because the arts often mimic the hearts of men. I mean, how many songs have you heard about living forever? Being forever young? Or having immortality? Wasn't that song that came on old TV show Fame? Remember that joint? I wanna live forever. I wanna learn how to fly. But right. What about the movies? There's even one called The Immortals, if I'm not mistaken. And other movies that promote the same theme. And of course, all the roles in the comic books. Been around for generations, only to have different characters play the same character over decades. They can't even die. That's what the mind says. And when it comes to the world that we live in today, with all the advances in technology, man's quest to live forever has been emboldened. And think about it. Now man is seeking to merge himself with machine. It's like the iron being mixed with clay. In order to attempt to escape death. But they will not succeed. So, one point that I'm trying to make here is to show that man's quest to live forever by his own hand and imagination are all works being carried out in futility. Not going to happen. But the bigger point that I want us to consider is that with this reality regarding mankind having eternity in our hearts, we who have this eternal gift should be more eager to share Jesus to the hearts of men. Are you making the connection? Because this is an amazing entry point in the light of eternity. It's already there. They want it. Even though they won't admit it. So, with the Lord's permission, we're going to use the text before us today to do just that. First, we're going to look at reasons why we desperately need this gift from God. Then we're going to look into a main reason why we don't share this gift from God. Look into some reasons why people reject this eternal gift. Then look at why morality moves us further from eternity. And we'll see that in the word. And why the world cannot escape mortality without Jesus. So, with all of that said, let's get back to verse 17 of our text as the Word of God once again reads. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So in this verse, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, expresses that because of the offense or the original sin of Adam, that one act of disobedience, death, would now be the end of all things. That one act. So if you wanted to know one of the reasons why eternal life is so valuable, is because of this. Without this gift of eternal life, death is the end of all things. It follows. And I don't think that we get the full understanding of this when it comes to the offense, at least for me. That one offense. Because when I first came to the Lord, it's like, that one little thing? I mean, that one act of disobedience and now everything is crushed? Why didn't you just kill Adam? He did it. Right? But God, in his divine wisdom, did not kill Adam. And then I would come to recognize how holy God is. And the more that we see how holy God is, the more we see how evil we are. And the more we see how evil we are, the more we are able to recognize how much grace that we have been given. And this gift of righteousness that has been offered by God is beyond belief. For one, it puts us back in the proper relationship with God that ultimately demonstrates the unmatched love of God. And this is the reason that God himself is love. I was talking to some saints earlier about an issue that was going on. And it came up about the treatment of somebody in their room and how they acted. And she realized quickly, they're acting the way they're supposed to act. Because absent God, what do you expect? Absent God, people will do everything that seems so good until something happens. And they will turn on you in a minute. When you don't have God, there's no compass in your life. And you react. That's why we're not to judge the world. What's the point? The world judges us. It's funny because in that conversation, I was like, hey, you know, when I go back home or whatever, people come up and they see me now and this is how the conversation starts. Oh, gee, what up, dude? Man, I remember when, and here's the long list of sins. When you did this, that, and I let them go. I just let them go have a field day. Let them keep going. And when they finally out of breath, yeah, man, woo, I remember all those things you did. Then I say to them, yeah, I was so foolish. And I got a question for you. How do you expect a man to act who doesn't have God? Mic drop. Anything goes. I don't know why I went there, but... But take notice in this verse that life does not reign over us. You see that? No. The gift allows us to reign in life through Jesus Christ. Do you see this? It's very important. Because the way I see it, it has a dual meaning. Because as Christians, we know that we will indeed be reigning and ruling with Christ in his coming kingdom. But we should also be reigning in this life through Christ for the furtherance of his kingdom. Amen. How do we do that? By bearing fruit because of his righteousness. Think on this, captured in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 30. The word of God reads, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." And again, what soul does not truly want eternity? To live a life in eternity with God, to be specific. It's at the very heart of man. And we should think on this. It should embolden us. Another way that I believe we reign in this life through Christ is by how we view and approach death. How do we view and approach death in the light of eternal life? Are we truly victorious over death? Can we truly say, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory, death? Death has nothing to boast about to those in Christ Jesus. Do we really show that we believe in this eternal gift that Jesus has promised? Or does death still reign over you? Are you following me? Because if death still reigns over you, then your witness for God? What kind of witness are you? It's stifled because you're apprehensive, because there's something wrong, because death is still reigning over you. Again, absent this eternal gift of Jesus Christ, what's the point of it all? We as Christians should not be walking dead. We should be those walking in the light of eternity, in the light of eternal life. So if death reigns over us, we will not share eternal life. That's what's going to happen. And then that brings on additional problems. You realize that, right? So think hard on this. We all should. The next reason that all mankind should be willing to accept this gift is captured in the Word of God in verse 18 of our text, as the Word of God reads, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." Now, not as though death wasn't enough. The Apostle Paul continues to explain in contrast that this lone act of rebellion by Adam also ushered in judgment to all of mankind. Judgment. Death's not good enough. You're going to be judged too. And the question that we should ask is, what kind of judgment? Oh, we have it in the text. The kind of judgment that results in being condemned. Do you see it? And this word condemnation in the Greek is defined as a legal term for being found guilty of an offense with the pending sentence about to be executed. That's condemnation. And the results of this was damnation and doom. That's what it is. There's nothing good about this, by the way. And according to the Bible, the same Jesus who offered himself as the eternal gift will be the same one who will execute this judgment. And his judgment is righteous. Isn't it sad so many people work so hard for this judgment? We all used to work for it. One way or another, we are all going to see Jesus, but this is not the way to do it. We either accept his free gift or we earn his judgment. And take a look at the second part of verse 18. Even so, through one man's righteous act. Notice, act, not acts, act. The free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. And what is that one righteous act? We know it, right? It was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that he was willing to go through on the cross. What he did made all of this possible. And this free gift is what all men have at their disposal to accept today. And of all the gifts that prideful men could reject, this is not one that you should reject. When we go back to the fact that eternity is placed on our hearts, it was not just placed there so that we would have this desire to live forever. It also serves as a void within us that only God can fill. That's why it's there. And the more we try to fill it, the emptier we become. And that is a dangerous place to be. Many people never return from this. And they do the unthinkable and take their lives. When eternal life was only a confession away. This is that gift. And if we want to know why people of all walks of life would reject this gift of eternal life, we have to look no further than the Word of God. We have several examples why Jesus is rejected. And let's get number one out of the way right now. Pride. Pride. Pastor Latu talked about this verse on Thursday night, captured in the book of Psalms, chapter 10, and verse 4. The Word of God reads, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." This is one of the reasons that when the Lord was preparing me for this teaching, he would see to it that I would not do a continuation of the birth of Jesus. Because in many cases, the account in the birth of Jesus is very palatable. Many will listen to it. And like I said earlier, many people think it's just a story. But perhaps some would come here today, making a special appearance with family and friends and loved ones, that God would deem fit not to hear what you perceive as a story, but to hear the word of the Lord that agitates all of the pride in all of us. Because absent having this pride eradicated, eternal life will never be obtained. Look at the word, the proud do not seek God. No thinking about it. But if the prideful heart can be cracked, the Lord will be able to reveal himself to you in a way that will lead you to the way, the truth, and the life. And that life is life eternal. That's what's important. And I pray that you see this. Another reason people reject this eternal gift is because of social status. In this account, we have the worst of both worlds. We have people in high places that believed, but apparently not with their hearts, as well as people who would claim God, but love men. Captured here in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, the Word of God reads, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," speaking of Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." The Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. In fact, the Word of God says from the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. It's a heart problem. And I don't mean the type of heart problem you can just go to any doctor to fix. Now, while many of them may have eventually come to Christ, we see how the influence of social status and the praise of man can prevent people from accepting this most precious gift of eternal life. And I hate to say this, that we have people here today, sitting in here, no question, that clearly recognize what's being said is the truth. But if they confess it, oh, they may lose a position on the board of directors. Or they may not get those contracts that they worked hard for. Or it may tear down or break up a special friendship that took so many years to build. Or perhaps get kicked off the golf club. And it goes so on and so on. But the loss of all of that, including this entire world, does not compare what you truly are about to lose. And that is your very soul. Moving on, we can see that people in concert with this reject the eternal gift from Jesus because of possessions and money. And we have several examples within the scriptures, with the parable of the rich young ruler being one of them. But let's just look at the words that Jesus would speak right before telling this parable. Captured here in the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 15, the word of God reads, "And he said to them," speaking of Jesus, "take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's is what? Life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Did you catch that? And I want to make sure to point out that Jesus says, take heed and beware. And I say that because possessions in and of themselves are not the problem, but riches too often become the problem. Because money has this strange draw to corrupt and blind the minds of man. No matter where you are on the social ladder, by the way. You know, people do the strangest things for money. And I say no matter where you are on that spectrum, because when I go back, I just think about the ignorance that I've seen. I will never forget being out in the field, this little spot where everybody used to shoot dice. And we're playing CeeLo. And a guy touched the dice without making a call. And the other dude was like, "Yo, I want my $3. $3! $3! He said, "No." An argument ensued over $3. Gunshot went off, hit the guy in the neck. He was dead on the spot. He laid out there for 9 hours. That's what money does. So take heed that your possessions do not possess you. Because life is not in those possessions. Life is only in Christ. In fact, no one can actually say they're living until they come to Christ. Absent Christ, everybody is truly walking dead. You want to see a movie, Walking Dead? Just ask. You believe in Jesus? There's one, Walking Dead. You believe in The final reason that we'll look at why so many people will reject this special gift of eternal life offered by Jesus is because they love darkness and choose evil. And this truth is captured here in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, as the Word of God reads. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Last week, I said that if you don't know that there's something wrong with you, then something's wrong with you. Here's the verses to back it up. Do you see it? We can see the light, but we don't come to the light because our evil will be exposed. What does that tell you? And you say, oh, what evil? Oh, the evil that resides in all of us. Oh, we could pretend that we don't have it. Oh, but it's there. It's there. People refuse eternal life because they love darkness so much. And you will see this truth from, again, the poorest to the richest. Every social class, ethnic group, and nation. We all have one thing in common for sure, and that is the evil within. So, why are we evil? Glad you asked. Verse 19 of our text points directly to this, as the Word of God reads. For as by one man's is disobedient, many were made sinners, so also by one man's is obedience, many will be made righteous. In this, the Apostle Paul links the rebellion of man to what would become the dominant nature of man, and that's sin. This is another reason why everyone needs to accept this gift of eternal life. Sin is the problem, and sin is the reason that we're evil. The world needs to understand that evil and sin go hand in hand. And take notice, the word many here is used twice, but where it's positioned in the text changes the context of the whole of humanity. What I mean by that is Adam and Eve are the parents of all humanity. So those many that are stated in the first part of the verse were made sinners includes all of humanity. Do we see that? People rarely talk about sin. There would be no need for an eternal gift of eternal life if there was no sin. Sin carries a crushing weight. And all of this weight is produced by condemnation and guilt that usually comes along with it. Even people who do not believe in the Lord still are crushed by their sins. The Bible says, behold, the man has become like us, to know good and evil. But what does man try to do? Man tries to separate evil from sin, and then man tries to redefine what evil is. Right? Even though from the Word of God, man clearly knows what evil is, and all evil is sin. There is no escaping it. And there's no escaping the consequences of sin on our own. It could be said that our sin nature is a spiritually transmitted disease. And we all got it. I'm just saying. That's how it was transmitted. And none of us will ever be righteous enough to eradicate it. This is why the Lamb of God would come into the world in order to take the sins of the world. The only one that could ever cure our diseased nature and then offer us a new one. And that nature would remove the enormous weight associated with sin and ultimately set us free. We should be so thankful. And again, that would come in the form of a gift. And all of it would be based on Jesus. And if we choose to accept this gift, we're part of those many that comes next in our text in verse 19. Who would be made righteous by faith because of our belief in the Redeemer. And we know that this righteousness does not come from us, nor can we produce it. We can't. It is the righteousness that can only come from God. The Lord alone is the giver of salvation. And with that one act of obedience that's repeated here, ushered in a period of grace that now fully has been revealed to mankind. This is what we're under. I ask you guys to pray. I really want to see if the Lord would allow a teaching to show the grace that we're under compared to not being under that grace. So just pray for me. This is an amazing grace that the prophets of old looked towards, captured here in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. The Word of God reads, of this salvation, do you hear it? What we are under, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, that's us, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And trust me, there are many more glories to follow. As we head back to verse 20 of our text, the Word of God once again reads, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So in this verse, the Apostle Paul highlights that what the moral law for man actually does to man. And we touched on this earlier. It reveals how jacked up we are. Our true condition. We are all hopeless and unable to keep any standard of morality given by the moral lawgiver. We can't. The law had been given because absent the law, sin as we know it would not provide that standard to be measured that we could take full credit for doing ourselves. See, we would have a skewed view, in other words. Are you following me? Oh, we're responsible, but see, our view, our personal view would be skewed. And this is captured in the book of Romans also in chapter 5. Earlier in verse 13, the Word of God reads, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Do we see that? Now, this does not mean that no one from Adam to Moses had their sins accounted for. It was like, oh, they didn't sin. No. They all sinned. And it all was accounted for. And we know this because, with the exception of Enoch, they all died. And sin is attached to what? Death. We also know that before the law, God gave commandments. He did. Not to mention that we have the moral law in our hearts. But with the law being introduced, sin explodes. Why? Because our sin nature is prone to rebel. Rebel against what? The Word of God. That's what it is. And we can even say that this is the reason why people don't accept this eternal gift given by the Lord. Rebellion against God's word. Because the word of God says if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will be saved and given this gift of eternal life. But because God said it, I don't want it. It's rebellion. And sin continues to explode. But we should take heart because no amount of sin will ever supersede the grace of God. This is why the Apostle Paul would say grace abounded much more. It's not on the same level. God's grace is amazing. And it continues to abound today. But hear me. That grace will be removed. Captured here, though, in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the word of God reads, "And of his fullness, speaking of Jesus, we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." None of us deserves this grace. In fact, what do we think we actually deserve? Who are we? I know for me, that's what I have to wake up every day and say, what am I but dust? I think we should all have on our desk or coffee table, wherever you want, or next to your nightstand, just a little vial of dirt, and it says me on it. I might just do that. I could sell them too. Hey. Come get the me dirt. I'm only kidding. But for us as Christians, I pray that we would all examine ourselves frequently in order to comprehend what the true and living God has done for us. And if we do so, perhaps then we'll be able to speak about this grace. Give it to others as we have received it. And not just give it during Christmas time, but be willing to proclaim this all the time, everywhere, as the Lord leads. And we cannot stop at the birth of Jesus. We have to get to the finished work on the cross. All of it. Because that takes care of sin and death, while at the same time gives us life everlasting. And this is proclaimed in the final verse of our text. The word of God reads, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here, the Apostle Paul would first link sin and death. And just like sin and evil cannot be separated, sin and death cannot be separated. Do we see the problem with sin? And if sin is in the nature of all man, what does that say about the condition of the world? And the death that the Apostle Paul is referring to, in the end, is an eternal death. And it's in contrast with the grace of God through righteousness, which again leads to eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Both are actually eternal. Eternal life is from Christ alone, a gift that all we have to do is accept. And eternal death is the reward that is earned when we reject Jesus Christ. Captured in the book of Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 2, the word of God reads, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." The word of God is true, and nothing's going to change it. And please stop thinking that when you die, that's it. No, that's not the case at all. Because when we die, there is an eternity that will begin for all of us. The truth has been told, and there are only two options: the free gift of life or the earned wages of death. And this free gift is offered to everyone, no matter what you have done or what you are doing. It doesn't matter. When Jesus says that all you have to do is believe in him to receive this gift, he means it. This is the greatest gift ever. And if the reason for the season, if this is what it is, we should be speaking about this eternal gift and celebrate it. One of the most famed Bible verses in the New Testament that the entire world knows whether they believe or not is captured in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16. You know it well. But we should never forget the words that are captured in John chapter 3 verse 17 as the word of God reads, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The world is already condemned. It was condemned since Adam and the fall of man. But God would provide the solution for this condemnation. And the answer is Jesus. Jesus is life, and he offers the gift of eternal life. The question is, have you received it? Because if you have not accepted Jesus, then you have accepted death. Not going to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. And not just some physical death, but an earned death that will keep you fully reminded of the free gift you rejected. So even though your heart yearns for eternity for some reason, you want to resist the loving calling of the Spirit of God. And you ask yourself the question, out of all the gifts that you have ever received, which one compares to this one? None of them. Nothing can compare to this. But again, there is something else that you better recognize, because this gift, this offer, will not last forever. Because at some point, we all die in the flesh. And if that happens to you before accepting this gift, you have condemned yourself with the world. And you will be judged according to the perfect will of the true and living God. Do not allow that to be you, because tomorrow is not promised. We can leave here today and that's it. I encourage you to choose Christ and accept what no other religion, no other practice, no one else could ever offer to you. Nothing comes close. Receive Jesus. Be sealed for eternity. And this could happen for you by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he will return and set up his kingdom. But it is ABC simple to be saved. First, by acknowledging that you are a sinner in need of a savior. And there's only one savior, Jesus. The book of Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." No one is righteous. No one can enter the kingdom of God on their own. And in chapter 6 verse 23, we have it. The Bible says, "For the wages," again, earned, "the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the A. And the B stands for believe, while the C stands for confess. Both are mentioned and captured in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 of the book of Romans, as the word of God reads, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, this is a most simple way to accept this free gift of the true and living God and be saved. By the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants us reconciled to him because he loves us. His word specifically says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus is the reason for the season, as we say, and the reason that he came was to give life and give life more abundantly. Why don't we stand so we can pray? Oh, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I pray, Lord, that you would just take your words and just allow them to explode to all the ears and give us the confidence and courage that we would have to express this eternal gift that you offer. And not look at this season as just time for us and family, but time to bring them into the Christian family. No matter where we are, if we're the only one in the household with all unbelievers, let us proclaim you boldly, that hearts may be turned to you and receive this eternal gift that we're so thankful for and we don't deserve. So Lord, thank you. We love you and indeed praise you. And give you all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ we do pray. Amen.